This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
From dating apps to job ads, personality tests promise quick answers to questions like, who am I? Who should I be with? But do four letters or a neat profile really capture a whole person? Or are we falling for clever wording? Well, today we're going to explore the appeal, the pitfalls, and the science behind personality testing with Kelvin Wong, clinical psychologist from Swinburne Uni. Kelvin, good to chat with you.
Good to chat to you again.
Let's, I suppose, some of these quizzes. What do you think they give people when we do one of these quick personality tests? Is there anything we can take out of them?
Yeah, so sort of like what you were saying, it gives people a sense of, you know, who they are. Right? It gives them a quick little label that summarizes the essence of their being, which a lot of us are quite motivated to find out, right? We ask ourselves questions from a very early age about who we are, who we might become, what jobs are suitable for me, what group should I be in? Like those sorts of questions that these tests sort of promise to give the answer to.
I love how you use the word promise, because I feel like, used to be tested when you go for a job, and I know some companies still do it. What sort of information does that give an employer?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends how the employer is using it, right? I know that you sort of mentioned before the Myers-Briggs type indicator, or the Myers-Briggs test. That is quite popular in work situations where, you know, some people have, you know, said that they've done some research where they use it to predict work performance or job satisfaction, things like that. But I think what's really important is the tests that we use. We have to remember that they're scientifically driven, which includes that they have certain properties, like they need to be reliable and they need to be valid, which unfortunately for the MBTI, there's a lot of evidence actually speaking against that.
Now, what is it, Kelvin, about, I suppose, tidy labels like, you know, ISTJ or whatever, you know, ISFJ, I think is one of them. What is it about having a label that makes us feel comfortable?
I think it's just quite naturally we like categories. We don't, like, you know, our day-to-day lives are so complicated that we like simplicity. We like organization. We're quite driven towards that. Even if you think about not just personality types, but you think about diagnoses, like mental health diagnoses, we like labels that can summarize our complex human experiences.
So it's almost like we don't like uncertainty. Is that what it is?
No. Yeah, that's right. We're driven toward that, like, certainty about who we are, and having a label to hold on to can be quite comforting.
So if those labels, like I did my one in my 20s a long time ago, a couple of years ago, let's say, if does that change throughout life?
Yes. Yeah, so I think you would expect that your personality does change over longer periods of time, even just purely through your life experiences, even, you know, your reflections. Given those experiences, you would hope that there would be changes over time as to who you are, what you prioritize. But there are some tests that are, you know, that if you did them within short periods of time, they would actually give you a different answer, which in that case, we wouldn't want that to happen, because at least in the short period, we wouldn't expect our personality to change too much.
So it's not as though they test the foundations of our personality that remain solid throughout life.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I think it does test who we are at this point in time. It gives us a bit of an idea of what's important to us, how we behave, how we respond, how we think at this moment in time. But to use that to define your entire sense of self and being quite, you know, it can lead us into a trap of ignoring pieces of information that might help us develop or grow as people and beyond the label if we hold too tightly onto them.
We're chatting with Kelvin Wong from Swinburne about why personality tests feel helpful, and maybe they are, but maybe they're not. Let's talk about the changing of our personalities. What then is the benefit of doing a test? Like, what can we take from it that's good, knowing that it could potentially change?
Yeah, so I think knowing about how it is predicting things now, right? So, you know, some personality tests would be quite helpful in, you know, identifying what's important to you at this point in time or your thinking style, and using that to predict what might be a good fit for you now. Again, I think the problem is that when we hold on to that label, we potentially start to ignore things that might change over our lives, and we don't have any personal growth then.
What if you get the result that you don't want? Could they create anxiety?
Oh, absolutely. I think, I mean, yes and no, it might be a double-edged sword. It might be like you feel like, oh, I finally belong to a particular group. Even though it's not ideal, there is still that sense of belonging, which is really important and part of our basic human needs. But at the same time, if it's not what you want, like, you know, if you did a test and it lands you into like the wrong Hogwarts house or whatever it is, I remember doing one of those quizzes, you might be like, oh, I might need to think about what it is that I'm presenting to the world. So yeah, it could cause a little bit of anxiety, but it can, at the same time, for some other people, could be generating that sense of belonging.
One of the tests that I've never done, but I'm intrigued by, is the ink blot test. How do they work?
Oh, yeah. So there are two main large categories of tests. So you have your, you know, you answer these questions, maybe they're yes, no questions, or you answer how much you are, you know, how much you agree with the statement on a scale of maybe 1 to 10 or 1 to 7. So you have those self-report questionnaires, but then the ink blot test that you're talking about, that's what we call projective tests. So the assumption behind that is our interpretation of ambiguous stimuli like ink blots are reflective of our, you know, personality, which is a subconscious kind of construct. So that is, you know, popularized by a Swiss psychiatrist in the 1920s who was largely influenced by a lot of, you know, psychodynamic traditions like with Freud. But, you know, with projective tests, again, the validity of them has been questioned.
I had a look at one of them today just out of curiosity, and I swear I saw an animal of some sort with some, you know, ears on it, and I thought, oh, I wonder if it's sort of designed that way, or how, or were they just created by, you know, dropping blobs of ink on a piece of paper and then it's up to our interpretation?
Yeah, I think it's probably more that than anything else, and you can see that there's lots of different things that can drive your interpretation, right? So maybe you're in a stage in your life where you might need a dog, so you might see an animal, you might see a pet, or, you know, or it's warning you to, you know, be very careful when you go out into the woods because there might be, you know, dangerous animals out there. So honestly, you can even see how your mood at that point in time can influence how you interpret something. And so it might not actually be indicative of your personality per se.
While we're talking about dangerous animals and in the woods, let's talk about the dating apps because people love the four letters for those. What's a kinder way of looking for your fit with someone or your potential to get in a relationship with someone without, you know, leaving it to the four letters?
I mean, to be honest, this is, this is more, relationships in general, right? I think we're at this day and age where we want that quick fix. We're looking for like the one, the perfect person, and we're trying, you know, every way possible to make that, you know, really daunting task easier for us. And I think people just forget that the best evidence that you have whether or not a person is a good fit for you is to probably just meet them. Get off the apps as soon as you can, meet them, see what the feeling is like in person, because that's what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life, as opposed to, you know, oh, let's check in to see what your four letters are today and seeing if we're still a good fit.
I don't think I've seen a profile with the four letters yet.
I've seen plenty.
Have you? Yeah. Do they put them up? If they're unreliable, I suppose, and if your personality changes, then you could be potentially missing out on meeting someone that you do match with.
That's right. And there's not really that much, you know, research into saying like which types go together. And I'm saying like, look, they might be theorized to go well together, like you with your horoscopes, but actually has any research been shown that they really do go together? And, you know, It matters in important areas of relationships, like, you know, longevity or relationship satisfaction. We just don't know with that stuff.
Given all of this that we've spoken about today, I suppose, what is a rule of thumb that we can use when we do take the test? We enjoy them. It's a bit of fun finding out some information about ourselves. What should we keep in mind when we get the results so that they sit with us okay?
Yeah, I think just remember, just have a little bit of fun with them. I think just treat it as that it's fun. And, you know, like I said, much like when you're looking at like your horoscopes or things like that, don't necessarily let it dictate your entire life. Use that as a fun little piece of information that you have. But, you know, there are definitely more purposeful and reliable and valid personality tests. And those ones are used sometimes in the context of like clinical settings where you might do these tests to determine what kind of psychological problems you might be experiencing. And so those ones, you know, alongside being used by a trained clinical professional, those are the ones that you probably might want to take a little bit more seriously because it's being used as part of your overall mental health care. But with these other ones, I think just treating that as a bit of fun and not letting it dictate your life, I think, is the best way about it.
And get off the apps and have a coffee.
That's right.
Kelvin, always good to chat with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Warren.
Thank you. That is Kelvin Wong, Senior Lecturer in Clinical Psychology at Swinburne University of Technology.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.